And now, from the Diamond to the Dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Three, two, one, go.
Hey, Twins fans. Welcome back to an episode of Twins Nation Pod. You could start by following the show at Twins Nation Pod on Twitter or X. You can follow myself, Matt, one of your hosts, at MDHoffman61. And we want to welcome back our co-host, the creator and now a co-host, Joe Gunderson. And you can follow him at Big Joe Gunn. So welcome back, Joe.
Hello. Thank you for holding down the fort while I had to step away. Yeah, work. Glad to be back and transparency, I guess. We've been trying to do this for like 3 weeks. Hopefully this time it looks like we're good to go. So.
Yeah. So like Joe said, we were having some issues with our platform. We used Spotify, and for some reason we tried a few times to record, had some issues. So we had to switch over anyways because of the fact that the Spotify podcast maker thing is going away. So we just switched everything over to Podbean. So this will be our first episode on Podbean. So hopefully everything goes good and sounds good. So, what's not going good is our baseball team right now. No, they have definitely not shown that they are a first place club in a division that is not supposed to be one of the better ones.
No, it's very, very bad. 7-13 after today's action.
Yeah. So, we're not going to kind of go into every series. We're just going to I'm just going to run through some numbers, and we're just going to kind of take a look at our team of injury and then kind of go over some stats. So at the beginning of the year, the Twins, started off the opening series at Kansas City, and they went 2-1 against Kansas City. Then they went to Milwaukee for a couple games, went 1-1. Met Cleveland for a couple games and had one rained out, but they went 0-2. And then they were able to play, and actually sneak one out against the Dodgers. So they went 1-2, split against the first Detroit series. And then we got smacked by the, Baltimore in three games. And then obviously up to recent, series with Detroit, only winning one game. So, like I said, it's been a very, very disappointing start to our season. And, what else do you have to add to that?
Not a whole lot. I expected them to perform much better against Detroit than they have. Definitely kind of felt that what Baltimore did to us was going to happen, because the Orioles are just that good. But was pleased that we could actually get one against the Dodgers, but other than that, overall it's been just really disappointing. And we're going to show it with the stats we're going to probably dive into, that the main culprit really is lack of hitting.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And like I said, you know, taking two out of three against Kansas City was a good deal. Losing both games to Cleveland kind of hurt, even though we still have one to make up against them. The split in Detroit, I mean, wasn't the worst thing. We should have won. We should have at least won, you know, one of those two losses. I was pretty happy against the Dodgers, you know, getting one. Baltimore, it would have been great to get one. But, you know, like I said, we know Baltimore is going to be a really good team this season. And then so far, I'd say the most disappointing series has been this Detroit series. You know, and yeah, like you said, I mean, the hitting's just not there right now. And it's, you know, some of it is just, it's, I know we're missing a lot of guys, which we're going to jump into here. Right now with hitters, we got Royce Lewis on the 10-day IL with Carlos Correa and Max Kepler. Lewis was hurt in the first series against Kansas City, which really was a shot to the groin more than the stomach. So he's supposed to be out for a month, but I have not seen a timetable of when he's going to be back. Have you read anything?
Seen a definitive timetable? No, but there was an update on him that he and Carlos Correa are resuming baseball activities, I believe, this coming week. So that's actually good news.
Yes.
We were, I think everybody was kind of anticipating it might, and it still could be that it be that he'd be out till June, and he still could be because you never know how the body's going to react to once he ramps up the activity, because he really hasn't done anything since he hurt himself, so that's the good news on that. Even better news is Max Kepler has been doing, has been on a rehab assignment, and, I think, you know, he's probably due to come back during this next series.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, yeah, he's been on reassignment since the 18th. So, yeah, I know statistically he was not playing very well before he went on the injured list, but still, you know, he's, you know, that was just a small sample size of the season, you know, when he got hurt. And, you know, but he's just another bat that I think could be helping contribute to this squad that's obviously not hitting a ball. So moving along with our injuries, the pitching has really took some hits so far this season, and that not just on the ball field, but just in general. I mean, it just the injuries have just been abysmal for us. Starting out with the starting pitching, the only thing that really kind of hurt us and kind of knew in the back of our minds that this was not going to be a thing was Anthony Desclafani. With him in his elbow trouble that, I mean, he was already having issues with it in Seattle, and he had some issues with it in San Francisco. So we kind of, like I said, I was kind of had some high hopes that he would maybe see him a little bit, but obviously that wasn't the case. But, so diving into, you know, the bullpen is pretty much the part of the pitching that's, you know, been shelled a lot with injuries, as Josh Topa, you know, with his tendonitis, he has no timetable. Sounds like Daniel Duarte, who just went on recently with an elbow deal, is now out for the season, which really stunk because he was another guy that was, you know, one of these arms that we just kind of picked up off the scrap heap and was kind of working out for us. And then obviously, Josh Topa. Yeah, I said Josh Topa already. We had Johan Duran, which that kind of was the domino, it seemed like, at the beginning, you know, where, you know, he was hurt with his oblique. It sounds like he's on a rehab assignment and he did some live sessions. So, anything new on that?
He faced some live batting practice over the weekend, and I think they're going to send him on his start a rehab assignment on Tuesday is what I was watching the game this afternoon. That's, I believe, what they said. So shouldn't be too long before he's back in our closer again.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be definitely helpful because I think, for the most part, you know, the bullpen has really helped us. And even with all these guys that, you know, we're kind of finding through the woodworks to just come in and fill in a few innings, they're actually really, helping us out, and they are putting up some good numbers. I mean, there's been a few games that, you know, where the bullpen kind of fell apart for us, but, you know, that's to be expected. And, you know, some of these names, which we'll get into a little bit later, I mean, have just been a major contribution. Also, Josh Winder is out, and then obviously from last, I believe he was hurt either last season or was it the beginning of this season?
Last season.
So there's no timetable on him. And then obviously Zach Weiss was hurt during spring training. So, and there's really no timetable on him because he's one of those other names also that we kind of found off of, you know, just a scrap heap, you know, somebody just to bring in, you know, that could possibly be something. And probably one of the biggest injuries, I mean, that doesn't really apply to the major league roster right now, but could have been a big deal for us is Brooks Lee, who has some back spasms. So, cause it looked like Brooks Lee was going to make this team, and somehow, if not, he was going to definitely come up, you know, probably within the first month. I would think if all these, you know, with his injury, I would have thought he definitely would have been the first guys to come up with everything that's going on with an offense that ain't doing anything.
If he hadn't been hurt, I imagine he would have been the guy to replace Royce on the when Royce went down.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So,
he's going to feel in it well enough because he hasn't started any activity since the back spasms.
No, and it said he was only supposed to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, but I'm pretty sure we are on that. I think we're definitely on the fourth week by now. So, and I haven't really heard anything new on him. So hopefully, we might see some activity coming pretty soon. So, but, kind of moving along so far with looking at some stats this year. With Correa being injured, he's been definitely our best hitter. So that's been, you know, really huge not having him out there, because we're having to play Willie Castro at shortstop every day. But, you know, Correa was hitting 306 with a 432 on base. And then Larnick was hitting 286 and 313. If you guys didn't know, Larnick, as obviously came up when they sent Matt Wallner down, who was definitely struggling. So yeah, and with his, you know, a little bit of playing time, he's actually been pretty good for us. I'm really impressed so far. I hope it kind of continues, and, you know, hopefully maybe there's a spot for him on this team to stay longer, even if Wallner is to get it all figured out down in AAA. Alex Kirilloff hit 279 with a 338 on base, and he's got three triples this year, so he's leading the team in triples. Been pretty impressed with him so far. What do you think?
I'm loving him. He's about the only thing I'm loving right now. He looks like kind of is showing the talent we've been told he possesses. We're finally getting to see it, and hopefully you just got to keep those wrists healthy, and I think this is the type of player we can expect, if not even better.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm really happy to see that, you know, so far this is what we're going to get with a healthy Kirilloff. you know, a guy who can be a threat, you know, of an everyday player, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's good. Hopefully everything continues that way. Another guy that kind of just made a call up not long ago with the injuries, Austin Martin. So we're finally going to kind of get to see what we got out of this Jose Barrios trade with Toronto. I don't know. I'm actually pretty impressed with him so far. I don't know about you.
He's had a good first impression. Yeah, he certainly looks like he knows how to handle the bat. He even was able to hit his first major league home run today. The only highlight of today's game.
Was that.
Now don't expect that too much because he's not known to have any power at all.
But no.
He looks like he's going to be, the type of player to expect from him is probably what they used to call a table setter. A guy mm-hmm. who's going to get on base, hopefully steal some bases and, just be a good athlete. He doesn't really have a set defensive position, I wouldn't say, but he can play a few different ones. So that
yeah,
he might be a super utility guy.
Yeah, I know he can play at least one or two spots in the infield, and then obviously he can play some outfield if he has to. So which that's great. We can always use that, especially with you know, Rocco's you know, with Rock, you know, what, you know, with Rocco kind of liking to do different things with the lineup and, you know, and just kind of move people around, you know, especially during games when we start, you know, pinch hitting for guys, you know, once, you know, just, it's good to have some of these guys that can, you know, obviously play in multiple places. So, couple other guys, Jeffers, you know, hit .246 with a .333 on base, but three home runs and 12 RBIs. That's, I mean, he's our RBI leader right now. I definitely playing really well, I think. He's definitely earned that number one spot.
Yeah.
So
I think I might vote for him for our team MVP right now.
Yeah.
Because that's just how it's gone. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, and then I got a, you know, Buxton. Buxton, if you look at his stats as far as his batting average and his on base, they're not really that great. He's got six doubles this year with nine RBIs. I mean,
that's pretty good.
And he's playing really good defense right now. So I'm actually really happy with what we got out of Buxton so far, minus the 25 strikeouts this year.
Yeah. He hasn't, in his last three games, his bat seems to have woken up. So the stats don't reflect that. Like you're saying, they don't look that great. Because you get off to a slow start, but I think we are seeing signs of life finally this week with the bat. And the defense has always been there.
Yeah, and I'm definitely willing to overshadow the 25 strikeouts that he's put up. You know, just the fact that he's healthy, he's in the outfield every day. He's played every game so far.
Yeah,
so, sure. Most of them. You know, he's been in all the games. And right now, I mean, I understand it's only 20 games, but it's, you know, it's great. I'm really happy to see this. And I'm, you know, to me, that's one of the big positives for the Twins right now is, you know, even him and Kirilloff, you know, both of them, you know, who were just, we didn't get nothing out of them last year, and now they're here, they're healthy, and you know Kirilloff's contributing, and you know Buck is contributing in different ways, but you know, obviously, you know, like I said, the strikeouts is just the one thing, but I'm willing to overshadow all that, like I said. So also Julian is not really hitting that great, but that's another thing. I'm kind of overshadowed a little bit by his four home runs, because he's usually not that big power hitter. But his strikeouts, though, that's the part that really bugs me. And I understand, you know, and some of it is just, you know, he's people know how to pitch against him now, you know. So, you know what, he thought he could get away with last season. He isn't getting away with this season. So as far as watching them really close pitches, because some of them that I've seen that he just lets go, you know, thinking it's all, oh, that's the ball, I'm going to take the walk, or, you know, or not, you know, just a ball in general. It's, you know, those are strikes, you know, and you gotta be aggressive. And he just hasn't quite been as aggressive on two strikes like I want him to be. You know, to me, that should have been a red light right there with him that, hey, I'm getting a lot more, you know, two strikes against me, you know, on, you know, with some of these pitches. And I gotta, you know, he's like, I gotta readjust. So.
Yeah. What I'm seeing, seems like he's been very passive, especially on like a pitch down and in.
Yeah.
That's one he seems like he always gets caught looking at. And I mean, technically, he might be right that that's a ball, but they're calling it a strike on you, man. You got to at least, and it's if it's close enough, you do have to swing at that eventually.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, and I've made these comments before, and I don't, you know, and like a few of the games I've watched, he could sit there and say that, you know, it might not have been a strike, but I guarantee, you know, I watching some of the umpires with those calls, that umpire's consistent. He's consistently making them calls for both teams. That's where you have to readjust. You know, they got to realize that, you know, him and even Buxton, same thing. You know, Buxton's, you know, the ones he's not chasing, you know, the ones he's watching go by and he thinks they're a ball. But, you know, it's like, hey, dude, it may be a ball, but it's, you know, it's close enough where it's a strike. You got to take a shot at that because other guys are getting rung up on that, and this umpire has been consistent. So, I mean, I know there's been a few games where the umpires were just god-awful, and I get that. But, you know, when you got a consistent umpire who will make that call every time, whether it's technically a ball or a strike, because obviously they don't see the box, you know, that's just an imaginary box for us. And the box on Bally and the box on ESPN are two different sizes. So it's just something for the fans to watch to kind of go by. You know, which I kind of try not to watch that too much, the box, but it is kind of hard because I try to watch the catcher's glove. So, yeah. Because that's just what I do, you know, like when I'm coaching, you know, and I'm watching my girls either bat or my girls that are in the field watch the pitcher, I always watch, you know, the catcher's glove where it moves around at just to know, kind of get an idea of where the ball was at. So,
yeah, it's, you know, he's. Yeah, I just feel like, especially, you know, like you're saying, Julian, he's got a, it just seems like he's always letting the same pitches go by,
mm-hmm.
their balls, and being surprised every time when they're getting called strikes on him, he's got to be like recognizing, okay, he's calling that a strike, and so I got to swing at it, even if I'm just fouling it off. You know, that's something he does need to adjust to. And maybe as his career goes on, he will get the benefit of that.
Yep.
Of that call. But right now, you're in your second year, dude. You could, unfair or unfair.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. And like I said, some of it, you know, like I you know, some of it might be bad pitches. Yeah, but it's. Honestly, I think some of them are really good pitches and they're ones that he has to jump on. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of taking his side a little bit, but I'm also not because, you know, anything that touches that, you know, what we see on TV, that box, anything that touches that box, whether it's a little more to the outside of the box or inside, I'm calling it. To me, that's a strike. That's something you go for. So.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, we're sound like we're just picking on him. And he's just the only one we've talked about. We could say that pretty much about every hitter in the lineup.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, we got some guys coming up that I'm gonna go through quick that are just as bad. because right now this team's got 100, I believe we were at 193 strikeouts last I checked. So, that's not good.
I believe that leads the league.
Yes, by a long shot, I think.
And I think I saw we only have drawn like 60 walks so far. That's not a good ratio at all. That's like
no.
Terrible. And yep. We're hitting, what would I say, buck 90. What did I put it on here, didn't I?
I just know we're ranked 29th in Major League.
Like a buck 94. As a team. So
yeah.
That's, again, that's not good. Hitting 194 as a team, and we've only hit 16 home runs as a team thus far.
Yeah.
Which is really concerning considering that this team, they're kind of built, even though not as much as in the recent past, they have a bunch of hitters that kind of rely on hitting extra base hits. So to have only 16 home runs in 20 games, that's not good either. So,
yeah, but yeah, so moving along, some of our hitters that are not hitting so great. This one's kind of a surprise for me. Manny Margot is only hitting 171 with, 277 on base. He's been okay defensively, but definitely not doing what I was hoping he would do with the bat.
Yeah.
Started and then with
bad spring and just carried over so far.
Yep. Willie Castro hitting 158 with a 279 on base. And he's also one of our strikeout leaders right now. He's got 26 strikeouts, which is that's a lot for him. So
not
and
talked about that though, just because he's never been known as a good hitter.
No. And we've had to rely on him a lot so far again this summer, and we're just not getting the same results like we did last season. So another disappointing is obviously is Christian Vasquez, who's hitting 139. Carlos Santana is another one that I am I'm really disappointed with. Only hitting 133 with a 224 on base. I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one to. I don't know how long of a leash he's gonna have with the Twins if he can't figure something out. I mean, I hope to gosh they don't. Designate him for assignment. Yeah, wink, wink.
About what we almost got fooled on Twitter by.
Okay, so there is a little joke behind this, and I don't even know if I still have it anymore. You probably still have the picture of it. So some knothead, I'm going to go knothead instead of the other word I want to use, kind of baited me a little bit. And it looked like what the Twins regularly use on Twitter for their background when they do roster moves. And what happened was it said that they were bringing up, I don't remember all the names, but David Festa, Alcala, and they were making a AAA move or something with Rodriguez. And it said that they were going to designate for assignment Kyle Farmer.
Santana,
and there was one more. Oh, Caleb Thielbar. And I thought it was, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have got to be kidding me. And I called Joe here right away, and I'm like, Joe, you won't believe this. And the more I was reading it on Twitter, and I even reposted it. And the more I read it on Twitter and looking around on Twitter, I'm like, none of the beat writers had anything on there because I guarantee I will never beat. And Gleeman or Bonus or Brandon Warren or,
Do-Young Park.
I'll never beat those guys. I mean, those guys are the ones that are on. They're the B writers.
And they
didn't have nothing on there. And I looked at this where I actually got it from right away, and it said M, and it was at MN Twins. So there's his username if you want to give the guy a hard time for being a jackass. Anyway, so I kind of fell for it for a minute there, and I got rid of it. And I also sent it to a couple other people. So, there was my.
I went because something like that would also have been on MLB trade rumors.
Yep.
And I was there and I'm like, well, it's not come up on here yet. That's weird, but
yeah.
Why Twins didn't go Yankees on the bit and got just dump everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Angels. Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of the little joke behind that there. So
yeah.
So anyways, well, you know what? All I did was take a little egg off my face and moved on. And actually, I actually sent it to Brandon Warren too, and he said, yeah, that's definitely not true. So, and I just, you know, so that's kind of what I thought, because I said you guys would have been pretty quick onto that, and I didn't see nothing. So, but anyway, so yeah, so Santana's been pretty disappointing this year. Matt Wallner, before getting sent down, was hitting 80 with a 273 on base, 17 strikeouts. Another guy struggling. I expected him to struggle, you know, because I figured, you know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stats out there on him now and a lot of ways to approach, you know, the plan against him. And so I figured he was going to take a little bit of a setback, but this was way more than I thought we would get out of that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could have anticipated he'd be hitting 080, 0.8. Just awful start. He's been demoted to AAA. I think he said that, and he just needs a reset. And because he was one. He was kind of the opposite of Julian, where he was being too aggressive. He was striking out because he was swinging at everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing. And I just, you know, like I said, I expected a step back from him, but I did not expect, you know, things to go this bad. As far as, you know, I kind of saw maybe him getting demoted to AAA, maybe just for certain things, but I mean, I didn't expect it to be the reasons that he did get now, you know, just for being that bad. And just like, it's almost like his mechanics and everything is just, everything's out of whack right now. And that's kind of tough to watch because he's such a great young player. And I think he has a good future with this team, but you know, he ain't the first player to struggle and he ain't going to be the last one to struggle that way. So hopefully he gets things figured out. So.
It is a little ironic, though, that his last at-bat with the Twins, he hit a home run. But then you have to remember, it was off a position player.
Yeah, yeah. Of all people, the guy that made the error for the Detroit Tigers ended up being the position pitcher to pitch or position player to pitch in Zach McKinstry. So, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people would have hit a home run off that ball. So. Sure. Also Kepler's not hitting very good. Hopefully he can change that because he's batting 50 with a 95 on base, which is, I don't know how much worse you can get.
I think a lot of that because he got hurt right away
and yeah.
Before they finally put him on the injured list. And so I think maybe a lot of that might have been him trying to play through that injury. But.
Yeah. And like I said, then we had Kyle Farmer, who's just playing atrocious also, you know, and that sucks because we're paying him a lot of money right now. And he's somebody we can't really rely on right now. And Kyle Farmer, who he's been around for a long time and he has never had a season like this. So I don't know how much people know about him in the past, but definitely this is definitely one of the a big first for him to start this awful. So.
I think, like, in the case of Farmer and, like, Willie Castro, it's oddly enough that it's because it's them playing too much. We have no other choice but to play them, unfortunately. But they were here, and their role was supposed to be part-time players. They've been forced into more than that because of injuries, and yeah. They're weaknesses are being exposed.
Well, yeah, and that's the one thing. But with bench players, yeah. Especially now, I'm gonna kind of shoot between Castro and Farmer here. I expect more at bats as a guy who isn't an everyday player like Farmer than I would, you know, than Castro, just because of the, you know, I was kind of hoping that, you know, we would have Farmer out in the field more than Castro, but obviously, you know, obviously Castro's just been, you know, especially at shortstop. I'm not a huge Castro fan at shortstop, and everybody knows about my thing about him playing third base too. So, I think he's just a better outfielder, but I like Farmer. I like Farmer in the infield. But apparently that's just not the way things are going. You know, I don't know if it just has to do with just batting alone, but you know, Farmer, I expect even as a, you know, a utility guy to still get about 300-400 plate appearances just because he can play so many positions in the infield. So kind of like he did with Cincinnati. So
seems to be struggling, at least this week, he seemed to be struggling a little bit defensively too.
Yeah, I did see a couple of bad plays by him. So, and I know there's been, you know, and at the plate, I know I watched him, you know, there was a few strikes he watched go by and then he just would get mad at himself. And right now, I mean, it could be just something like, you know, it's all, you know, in his head. He could be in his head right now, you know, I mean, but he's a veteran. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't going to go down to minors, so he's got to get it figured out. So,
yeah. So we just got to believe that they will. I thought maybe, personally, I thought maybe that they might have been coming out of their funk a little bit yesterday, because even though the stats wouldn't look pretty, they were playing some small ball yesterday, which is something they don't do. They had these things called sacrifice flies.
Three of them.
Note to Joey Gallo. That's allowed. They had three sacrifice flies, and like, you know, this is good, you know, that even though you're making an out, it is a productive out. That's Aaron Gleeman, there is a such thing. So I thought maybe that would be a sign of good things, but today they didn't carry over to today, unfortunately. But
No, but it just, you know, and I didn't really get to watch the game today, but I also just saw that they had more hits than the Tigers, and it was just kind of one of them things where Tigers were just scoring with guys on base and, you know, coming up with big plays, where the Twins were just back to, you know, not doing what they've been doing all year, not getting runners in on, you know, when they're in scoring position. So yeah.
And then I forgot to grab that stat.
I'm sure everybody knows by now it's pretty bad.
With runners in scoring position, but if you haven't figured it out, it's bad, folks.
Yeah, it's awful. So my softball team has a better scoring in position stats than the Twins right now. So yeah, let's talk about our pitching.
This is something we might be happy about.
So far, you know, Lopez, Ryan, Ober, you know, Ober as of recently, I know Ober was a little...
He had a bad first one.
Yeah, bad first game, but it sounds like he's kind of settled down and started. Really? I mean, both, you know...
Good sense, yeah.
Yeah, Lopez and Ryan are both pitching under, you know, with ERAs under 4 and whips around 1. You know, both of them, lots of strikeouts. Ober, his ERA is back down to 4.91. Still got a pretty low whip. The two I'm a little worried about right now is Paddock and Varland, obviously.
Yeah. Especially today, Varland, I don't think he lasted 3 innings today.
No, 2 2/3.
So, I had some hope there, because their first couple starts, well, they weren't great. They were decent, first couple starts, but each of their last starts have not been good.
No.
So I don't,
I don't know what they'll do if this, if a move is coming as far as, you know, maybe if Louis's going to get sent to the bullpen or if they're going to keep giving him more tries or what, but I can't imagine they'll give him too many more.
No,
starting if this continues. So,
you know, and here's the thing. I mean, Louis's big problem right now is, I mean, he's got a 9.18 ERA, and that was, I don't think, that's not as of today. That was as of yesterday. Okay. And he's got a whip of 2.16, which is, which is out of the world, out of this world. You know, and Paddock's isn't much better. But the big difference is here is Paddock's only struck out 9 guys in his 3 starts. That's, you know, basically you're averaging about 3 strikeouts. Again, you know, a start where Varland at least has more than Ober. He's got, you know, one more than Ober right now. And I don't know how many.
Yeah,
I mean, he strikes out more guys, but he just throws them really terrible pitches over the middle of the plate. And guys are, you know, sending them out of the ballpark. And it's costing us runs. And now today, I think, was kind of the same story. But I was looking at his pitches. I think he had 74 pitches in 2 2/3 inning. I mean, that's including 39 in the first inning, I was told. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, it's, you know, and then I think only 45 of them were actually strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was way off. Really, I mean,
struggled with the control today. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, this is not good. This is not good. I don't even know if I really want him even in the bullpen. You know, I think we need to bring, you know, send him back down and bring up Simeon Woods Richardson, who, by the way, made one start for the Twins. Had a good first game. I mean, he, you know, pitched, had 5 strikeouts. I don't remember how many innings. I think did he go 6 innings?
I believe he did.
Yeah. So, like I said, he gave up a few hits, but I mean, he's keeping his whip under 1. And I think we need to give him another look. Let him come up and maybe send Varland down. I can't imagine the Twins sticking with this because right now you got 2 definite losses, you know, with Paddock and Varland, you know, in your 5-man rotation. And that's not good for a team right now that is well below 500 and a team that's trying to get back up there and against, you know, weaker opponents. Like the White Sox, and then I know we got somebody else in between the White Sox, and then we play them again.
The Angels.
Angels, yeah. What the Angels have been playing pretty good. So to me, this would be a great time to send Varland down and recall, bring Simeon Woods back up. I'm going to say Simeon Woods Richardson in there. Sometimes I can't spit it all out in one breath.
SWR.
There we go. We'll call him that. I hate using names like that, but I'm going to do it. So, because I can't seem to get it out and with 2 good lungs. But
why does he got to go with a hyphenated name? He's probably, I don't know. But
it's anyway. It's funny how it fits on his jersey though.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. But anyways, right there a change needs to happen. You know, and I mean, you could even make the argument for Paddock too, because Paddock maybe not putting up the strikeout numbers, but I don't know. I think Varland's pitching is a little more of a red flag for me.
They've got more invested in Varland than they do Paddock, for one. And Paddock, his struggles are a little bit more understandable because he's coming off a Tommy John surgery. And usually, this isn't great to hear, but it usually takes a guy about a season before they're back to their regular selves.
Yeah.
So that would explain why he's having trouble with control and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it doesn't continue, but that would explain why it might. But that still doesn't mean that that if we're going to contend, you know, we might have to do something else with him, or him be the guy that gets skipped in, on off days. His spot in the rotation might have to start getting skipped. You know, just something does have to change with those two. Definitely, I agree.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, because I just, you know, I know it's only one start out of SWR, but I did kind of like what I saw. If I can get, you know, at least that kind of start 2 out of 3 games from him, I'm very happy with that, because that at least puts us, you know, in a situation to win. So.
Yeah, and he's, there's signs that he could sustain what he's done, because he's had a good start to his AAA season, and he's improved his velocity over the winter somehow. So, I mean, that was one concern the Twins had with him last year's. He was topping out at like 92, and now he's going like 94, 95, which maybe doesn't sound like much, but it is.
Yeah.
That's a couple less milliseconds for a batter to react, so I hope, it would be nice to see him get another shot. We'll see if and when the Twins decide that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And moving to the bullpen. Actually, the bullpen has been, even with all these injuries, it's still been probably the most impressive part for the Twins this year. Led by some, you know, Jax and Stewart, who have been pretty good. Jax is, you know, so far has pitched like 9 innings. He's had an ERA of 3, pretty low WHIP. Brock Stewart doesn't even have an ERA yet, because it's been that good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good job by him. Cody Funderburk, who I was kind of shocked that they kept him in the rotation when they made some roster moves last time, but I'm kind of glad they kept him down there now. I mean, he's got a 2.16 ERA with a WHIP's a little high, 1.56, but you know, he's still being really good, productive out there. Steven Okert, he's kind of been a little up and down. He's got a 4.50 ERA. Cole Sands has been off to a really great start this season.
Yeah, he's in the bullpen today. He's for anybody who might not know, he's a guy that they use if the starters had a short start.
Yeah.
Basically, his role is long relief. And in the past, it hasn't gone that great, but this year so far, he's been, as you're saying, he's been great. And especially today, I thought.
So. Yep. And then Jorge Alcala, who's right now not in the majors. He's down in St. Paul right now. He's been pitching pretty decent.
Someone explain that one to me, though.
That's where I was kind of questioning why they didn't send Funderburk down instead of him, because I figured we want another righty. But apparently they wanted to carry 3 lefties. And then, like I said, we got Jay Jackson's been in the long relief, so his stats aren't been incredibly the best. I know he's got a high ERA right now, but, you know, a low WHIP. And then Matt Bauman, so far, you know, he's pitched, he pitched 3 innings. Did he pitch today too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sounds like he was all right today too. I don't think
nothing. All the damage was pretty much done on Vaterland today.
Yep. And then unfortunately, Daniel Duarte was hurt or out for the year, who was doing decent also. So all these names that are in, you know, that have, you know, they've all played pretty decent. And, you know, these are, you know, I'm counting what, 3 of these guys at least were just these arms that we picked up off the scrap heap you know, and just stashed him in AAA, you know, for situations like this, you know, that we're going through with the injuries to the bullpen. And it's worked. It's really worked for us so far. And, you know, and I kind of, I just, you know, I can't do nothing but praise our bullpen being probably one of the better ones in the league just because of it.
Yeah. So, you know, and when you take guys out of, have to take guys out of the roles that they're used to, you know, when, because you lost your closer in this case for the first part of the season, you know, so now your setup guy's your closer and all this, that can somehow mess, that can really mess up a bullpen, but they haven't let it, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. So, so yeah, that's kind of what we got for stats right now. I know we kind of did just a lot of numbers stuff, but you know, when, like I said, with our the issues we had, it would just take too long to go through all these, you know, go through every series and just analyze everything. So we just figured we kind of get everybody up to speed on what's going on right now and kind of have everything in a nutshell, you know, of how our season's going by the numbers. So, yeah, I mean, fourth place right now, 7-13. Cleveland's leading the division with a six. Well, this is, I don't know. Yeah, this is updated. 6-16. Kansas City, who's second place by three games. They are 13-9. Detroit, 12-10. Minnesota sitting at 7-13. And then the White Sox sitting in dead last, 3-18. So, it's still, you know, obviously it's an early season.
Only 10% of the season's done.
Yep, exactly. I'm not quite, I mean, I am a little worried right now about some certain things with this team, especially the hitting.
Yeah, well, the trending is bad, but
the pitching, the starting pitching isn't worrying me. It's, I am a little worried, but not as worried as I am about the hitting. And obviously I'm cool with this bullpen. So no matter who they're jogging out there right now. So all in all, it's just, we just got to get some hits. We got to, you know, produce some offense. And, you know, it's just, it needs to happen. And, you know, if we can't do that, we're not going to win baseball games.
And they've got a prime opportunity to start that this week. They've got a couple of opponents that are struggling, and they should be able to beat up on. We've got the mighty Whiteys. The White Sox are next on the schedule for a four-game series, and then they've got the Angels,
yep.
Who they have Mike Trout, and that's it.
Yep,
that's pretty much.
Yeah, Mike Trout, and actually, you know.
I mean, they have
and a few other guys they've kind of picked up. I can't think of them right offhand, but I'll tell you what though, they're off to a decent start. But you know, we've seen this before out of them too. So
they're the Shohei-less Angels.
Yep. So yeah, there you go. Like I said, we'll start our series with the White Sox. Hopefully now, I think, you know, I know I made a prediction of them having to at least win, you know, at least win three games would be great. Now I think they got to sweep them. They have to sweep them now after what happened against Detroit. So, and then, yeah, exactly. And I know the Angels series is not going to be any easier. So, so yeah, I don't know what else you got. You got anything else, Joe?
No, I've, everything I thought of we've covered. So I think we are good if we want to wrap this up and let, and, get watching more games next. This,
coming. Yeah.
If we could talk about the new, or I guess you've mentioned it, in a previous podcast, a new thing. You and I are both dealing with a new app that's out there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was getting to get to that. I actually had it written down here. So, recently I've been a part of it already for a month. Joe is in the process of getting added on to this. I am also now taking on a media, what do you want to call it? A media caster? Is that what they call it now?
They're calling it, yeah.
Yep. A media caster for pro sports fans. And if you guys don't know what pro sports fans is, that is it's an app on your phone. And if you guys have ever watched, Thursday Night Football that does it with the Mannings?
Monday.
Is it Monday night? Okay, Monday night. Sorry. Yeah, not Thursday night. Yeah. Monday night.
Yep.
So it's kind of like something like that where you guys can get into a chat room and there will be a host or a number of hosts. Mm-hmm. And basically you kind of just sit back and watch the game and kind of hang out with us. And, you know, we just kind of, you know, just like how the Mannings do, just kind of talk about what's going on in front of you. And it's kind of and we obviously will have interaction with you because there's a chat room. So, I mean, people have been pretty good about, you know, just asking questions or, you know, just giving their opinion on, you know, the game. So, and it's not, so yeah, it's a really fun thing. I think it's kind of it's definitely a future thing. The PSF, we'll call it for short, is kind of still in the early stages. That it started last year. This year is the first full season of baseball, and it was pretty successful in football.
Okay.
So you can go on there and you just, you know, download it. You'll have to create an account, and once you're all in and create your profile and help me out, Joe.
It's free. That's the main thing we want to point out.
Yep.
So it doesn't cost you anything. If you wanted to, maybe you would be interested in doing what we're doing, which is becoming a media caster. I would think that you could do that. I think they're wanting to find people for every team.
Yep.
And no matter what sport, all the sports are on there. Not just baseball or football, all the sports, even NASCAR.
Yep.
On there.
Yep. I'm on the NASCAR one. So, and you can follow any team you want. I follow actually a lot of teams, the Braves, the Rockies, the Twins. I'm on a Detroit, you know, cause I've gotten to know a lot of these other media casters. So I kind of follow them and just kind of watch them, you know, a little bit. So,
yeah.
I think it's really fun. So if that's something you may be interested in, you go ahead and download that app. And if you guys have any questions on that and not sure on how to do some of that stuff, you can reach out to me or Joe. Joe's Twitter account is at Big Joe Gunn.
Yep.
And you can follow me at MD Hoffman 61. And don't forget to follow the show at Twins Nation Pod. So, mm-hmm.
And on Facebook, right?
And Facebook, I haven't been really keeping up on that. I'll try and do better.
Okay, I didn't know. But there is a Facebook page.
Yep, there is a Facebook page. Go ahead and give us a like on there. Go ahead and rate the show. And you can follow us on all the platforms.
Yep.
And, give us a like. Give us five. I don't know. What does Podbean have? Five new stars?
Yeah. All the podcast apps do it by stars. I believe they're all five stars. It's the best. But even if you don't want to give us five stars, we can't make you.
Nope. So. Nope. But it'd be awesome if you did. Then it would make our egos get bigger. So, all right. Well, that'll, I think that.